Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
Welcome back to I Went Out. I'm Annie.
I'm Vic.
And today is a continuation of our Walking Through the Book of James series. We're continuing our walk through the Book of James. We're still in the first chapter. And today we're going to walk through James 1, 16 through 18. But before we do that, just a reminder to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Leave a rating and or review. That's helpful for us, but it's also helpful to you guys so that you don't miss out on anything when our pods drop. All right, we're going to read through verses 16 through 18, and then we're going to go line by line as we've been doing the past few weeks and just give our thoughts on it. I'll read. Don't be deceived, my dearly loved brothers. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him, there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. By his own choice, he gave us a new birth by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of his creatures.
Amen.
Amen. First verse there, don't be deceived, my dearly loved brothers.
Oh, I can go in on that one.
Yeah.
But what verse 16 really is just a setup for verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first read that, I was like, yeah, don't be deceived. There's too many people being deceived nowadays by all kinds of craziness, but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
But really it is, verse 16 here is a setup for verse 17. And mm-hmm. in a sense, it's James is basically like, y'all don't get it twisted. Every good thing that we get comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with you and who you and how good you think you are, the things that you think you've accomplished. Like everything that is good, it comes from God.
Yeah.
So don't be prideful. It didn't come from you.
Yeah.
And I think it sometimes we can deceive ourselves by saying, look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this good thing I have now.
Right.
Look at my financial portfolio or so be it, look at my social status. Like, mm-hmm. man, like, those are good. Some of those can be a good thing, and some of them God has given those to you.
Yeah.
But again, God has given that to you.
Amen.
He's given you the gifts to even get you there.
Amen.
So,
amen.
I think, like, that's, again, is James is just kind of really reminding you that everything comes from God.
And right.
Don't get it twisted.
Right. Yeah, and the enemy is a great deceiver.
Yes, he is.
You know, I just, even in the beginning of time, I think of Adam and Eve and how he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. So I guess to kind of like tie it into our last episode on James 2 is like sometimes we get tempted by things that we perceive as being good.
Yeah.
But really is not good. And we have to be careful. And I guess this also goes back to just using godly wisdom mm-hmm. and being reminded of that true goodness comes from Jesus, and to not get caught up into thinking that these like bright shiny objects that kind of gets dangled in front of us sometimes will satisfy us,
yeah.
But that only Jesus will satisfy us.
That's it.
Yeah.
Amen. But yeah, I'm definitely with you on there. Like we can take good things and twist them up real quick and make them bad things.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think just think of, for those that are listening and are married, in your marriage, sex is beautiful. Sex is good. It's a God-given gift in mm-hmm. marriage. Even in our marriage, though, I can quickly take sex and twist it up.
Yeah.
And make it something that's not good because then I'm idolizing that or I'm pursuing that only for the simple fact of having that rather than actually enjoying it with my wife. And I'm like, I got a need. I got a meet. Like, so
right.
Therefore, my flesh and my sin
right.
or in my corrupt heart is taking something that's good and beautiful and being recognized within its proper context.
Yeah.
But I'm still making it something else.
Yeah.
Taking a good thing and turning it bad.
Yep.
So it's easy, it's real quick to take some God-given good things.
Absolutely.
And distort them.
Absolutely.
Oh.
All right, verse 17. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him, there is no variation or shadow cast by turning.
Yeah, so I really wanted to, I got some notes I took on this out of my Cultural Context Bible. Because I thought it was really is good, just to kind of see like what James is talking about here and how people were viewed things in that time and how some of the language he uses here, especially the Father of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way James is describing here is like, rather than just sending testing, which you kind of, we see in the verses before this about, you know, how trials are testing sometimes to see who we are, but sometimes God will also flip that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't always send testing in that sense, but rather he sends you a good thing and test. It's almost kind of be tested in that sense of like, are you going to be a good steward of this, or are you going to take this and twist this all up?
Right.
But again, our God's not just up there testing us to fail us.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there are things that are given, and then we ultimately, again, just twist it all up. But ultimately, one of the best things that God has given us is this is all of creation.
Yes.
Like us, like he created us. And this, he's also given us this beautiful opportunity for a new life,
mm-hmm.
which is rebirth, essentially. Like we're dying to an old way and living for a new way.
Yeah.
And basically, in this is like God is the author of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything good was a commonplace idea of the Jewish and Greek wisdom. So as James was writing this, people had that idea already.
Right.
Like he's just kind of reaffirming what they already like. No one in that time in the Jews or the Greeks would have said, "Oh no, this isn't good. This mm-hmm. is from God. We did this." Like it was commonplace in that day and age that. Right. Everything that was good was from God, or for the Greeks, it was God's.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like he was already speaking their language.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that really stuck out to me, though, is like people in antiquity often affirmed that what was in the heavens was perfect and changeless.
Mm.
So when you see how James talks about with him, there is no variation of shadow cast by turning.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he's saying like God's unchanging; he's
right,
the same.
Right.
He's again meeting both the Jews and the Greeks right where they are by using language that and things that concepts that they're already familiar with.
Right, right.
That they viewed the heavens as perfect.
Right.
That the heavens don't change. The world changes. The heavens never change. The star status—it's all the same up in the heavens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he moves on from going, Jewish writers sometimes used from above to actually mean from God.
Mm.
So sometimes in early Jewish writings, you would have from above, which really meant from God.
Right.
And then many people in antiquity believed that the stars controlled their fate in an arbitrary way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all random. Like, the stars controlled how their lives were going to go.
Right.
I mean, that's where we get astrology. I'm not calling it, is it not astrology? What is it? Zodiac signs and all that crazy mess.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, this is going to predict my life. but what I find interesting is James flips that and says, basically, our lives rest in the hands of our loving Father.
Amen.
And that's when he's talking about, you know, there's no variation. He's just talking about every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of Lights.
Yeah, man.
So everything, like, we're not being led. Our lives are not being controlled by the heavens, mm-hmm. the stars, as some of the Greeks would have thought, and maybe even some of the Jews. But he's instead saying God's in control.
Yeah.
He's got this. Everything's coming from him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for us, we have to be careful where, I guess, even with like charitable acts, people who are very generous in their giving, every good work, everything that's good and perfect, it comes from God and God alone. And so even when we're generous ourselves, we have to be careful to say that, oh, this is my doing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the opposite end of that, we have to be careful to say that this is man's doing. Everything that's good and perfect comes from above. And I just think also from the grander scheme of things, you know, it says in the book of John that the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, bringing all grace and truth. And, you know, I don't think there's a bigger gift.
No, absolutely
than Jesus
not.
Himself.
Yeah.
who brought grace and truth, which we so desperately need.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that's awesome. And then the variation part of it. Early in the book of James, in chapter 1, it talked about various trials.
Yeah.
Yet here, it's saying that our God, there is no variation.
No.
He is constant. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore.
Yep.
And so it's like, Regardless of how various our trials may be, our God is constant. He is always going to be the same. He is unaffected by our various trials.
Yeah.
And I you know, we praise God for that, because we can constantly depend on Him.
Yes.
Day in and day out to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, because then it's like, when we're in the midst of all the our life changing, we can rest assured that our God is not.
Mm-hmm.
That He is faithful. He's the same. That He's going, and because He's the same, He's able to walk us through that, because He's seen everything. He knows everything.
Yeah.
And I just, the other day, actually, it was crazy. I don't know if it was like a nap dream or whatever, but I just had this, and like, it was just a hand just kind of guided me along.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was almost like, I felt like a little kid clinging to his hand. It was like, that's what I need to do, especially in these moments of drastic change and trials in my life. I need to be that childlike, and just grab a hold of my Lord's hand and allow Him to guide me and to walk with me.
Yeah.
Because I think about, like, as someone who has kids, when my kids are afraid or when they're hurting, like, they're clinging to me.
Mm.
But even when and that's the beauty of this too, is like, even when they're not hurting or they're not going through something, they still cling to me.
Yeah.
So it's almost this beautiful, like, I always need to be holding onto my Father's hand and clinging to Him.
Yeah.
Through the valley and through the mountaintops.
Amen. That's good. That's good. All right. Verse 18. By His own choice, He gave us a new birth by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of His creatures.
Those first four words are extremely important.
Yeah.
That this is by His choice.
Yep.
It's His choice that He gave us this opportunity to have a new birth.
Mm-hmm.
That He loved us enough to send His Son.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do that.
Didn't I?
God could have said, man, I created them. They are a mess. They're rebellious. To the hell with them. That's literally what He could have done. He is God. He was within every right to do that.
Yeah.
But instead, He chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to give us a way to be redeemed and restored into a beautiful relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think, again, we have no basis for pride. There's a lot of in James, I feel like he's really, I would love to know what, like, sometimes when you're writing and you're getting super, like, passionate, I feel like James had somebody in mind as he was writing his letter. He's like, and bro, I can remove this. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, he probably knew someone who was, like, super prideful and trying to talk about some things that they had. And it's like, man, we have no...
I wonder if he was thinking about himself.
He could have been.
You know.
Jesus' brother.
Yeah. Because there was a time, I mean, for a long time there, he did not even believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
Yep.
So
that's a good, I like that. That's good. It could have been, he could have been thinking about himself and low key been writing a letter to himself. Mm-hmm. And in the way I even preach, I tell some people, like, I will not preach a message unless I, like, I need to hear it.
Yeah.
If I don't need to hear it, there's more than likely somebody else that doesn't need to hear it.
Yep.
Nobody needs to hear it.
Yes.
So I like that, the way you took that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, there's no basis for pride.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. Like, this is God chose this.
Yeah.
He made this possible, not me.
Yeah.
Not by my good works.
Right.
I ain't got none. Right. Not apart from Him.
Yeah.
And He gave this new birth by the message of truth, so that we could be the first fruits of His creation. And this is an interesting verse, because think about the context that James is speaking in. These are basically the first generation Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, in first fruits was a very big thing in Jewish culture, and giving to God and all that, like giving Him your first fruits, not giving Him your leftovers, like the first.
Right.
So it's almost kind of like a, I don't know how to say it without sounding heretical, not heresy, but it's just kind of like, hey, we're the first fruits.
Yeah.
Like, we are the first generation who has said yes to our follower. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's almost a shout out to, like, you know, that we would be the first fruits of His creatures.
Yeah.
And even now, like, we are technically, I guess, would be His first fruits, because because of what Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
we are the first fruits now.
Yeah.
Like, we are above all the rest of creation. So,
yeah.
But especially that first generation, like, they were the first Christians.
Yeah.
They were the first Jewish people to say yes to Jesus.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
It's just interesting to look at that. And they kind of talked about it in a little bit in historical context, but I didn't want to write all that down.
Right.
So, they just made that a point. It was a pretty interesting point to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love that by His own choice.
Yeah.
Part. That's awesome, man. Because it makes you realize that He wasn't forced. He did it on His own doing, and it's because, and it just points to that God in His very nature is love.
Yeah.
And His very nature is grace. He is the way, the truth, the life, and that's His nature. It's who He is, and it's what He does. and he's constant in that. And so that's something that we can cling on to and stand firmly on, that he is a strong foundation.
Yes.
And he will not be moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, as you're reading that, I think John 3:16 sums it all up the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is how God loved the world. I'm about to memorize the NLT version, but I'm going to read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible real quick. But God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
Yeah.
Anyone who believes in him will not be condemned. But anyone who does not believe in him is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God.
Hmm.
So I think that's God's expression right there of love.
Amen.
This is how God loved the world.
Amen.
That he sent his son, who is God, mm-hmm. to lay down his life to make a way for us.
Amen.
There is no greater love.
Yeah.
And he chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, that is, oh, man, it's the perfect picture of love.
Yeah.
The fact that he chose to come to us, it still blows my mind. Sometimes I'm like, even questioning, like, God, why'd you save me?
Yeah.
Like, you're something else, man. You must really love your creation, because I would not want to save me.
Yeah. And so that goes into, I guess, the question I was going to ask on, you know, it mentions the message of truth.
Yeah.
What is the message of truth? What is the gospel?
Yeah. So, I mean, the gospel is pretty simple, that we're broken sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the way back from Genesis, like, regardless if you believe the story of Adam and Eve to be a, like, actual individual or, like, a foretelling of how humanity fell, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. The story is still the same. Sin yeah. came into the world and has corrupted us.
Yeah.
And sin has corrupted not only us, but all of creation. And it's separated us from God because there is no evil within God.
Yeah.
So we were, like, when Adam and Eve were banned from Eden,
mm-hmm.
it was also being, like, essentially being removed from God's presence,
right?
Separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the that very moment, though, God was weaving together a redemption path.
Amen.
So there's so much, and when you're going through the Old Testament, there's so much foreshadowing to the ultimate Savior, which is Christ Jesus himself,
right?
So we're broken sinners, fully corrupt, not capable of reaching God on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God.
Amen.
And then ultimately, because of our sin, Jesus came and had to pay a price,
mm-hmm.
Laid his life down, and then picked it up 3 days later.
Yeah.
To defeat sin and death once and for all.
Mm.
And when we give our lives over to him, we have this beautiful opportunity for a new life,
yeah.
to live for Christ on a daily basis. And I think sometimes you hear people like, well, the gospel was being preached by John the Baptist. What was that?
Mm.
That the kingdom of God is near.
Yeah.
That was the gospel message of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is near, preparing the way, like, let's yes. prepare the way.
Yeah.
And then when Jesus gets there, he fulfilled that.
Mm-hmm.
But now the beautiful message, the kingdom's here.
Yes.
Like, God is with us now. Mm-hmm. Like, he has made himself known and has dwelt among us. And now, in part, like, when we make a confession of Christ being Lord and Savior in our lives completely,
yeah.
the Holy Spirit dwells within us.
Yeah.
And God is with us now at all times. So mm-hmm. it's just like, that's the beautiful truth.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you're being saved from sin. It's a huge part of our salvation and being redeemed in the gospel, but man, God's with us all the time now. Like, there's
mm-hmm.
that's the beauty of it, in that we're living for eternity now. We're not right. living for the here and now. We're living for forever.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And that's the long breath, kind of drug out version of the gospel message.
Yeah.
But that basically sums it up, I think.
Yeah, I love it. You know, and we were talking right before we started recording, just on the emphasis of new birth.
Yes.
And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who grew up in church,
yeah, yeah,
and they believe that they've been Christian their whole life. And I can kind of, like, you know, if you go back and listen to my testimony, kind of like attest to that, because yeah. I grew up, you know, I came into a Christian family. My grandfather was a pastor and stuff, and so I had that thought myself,
mm-hmm.
but it smacked me dead in my face when I came face to face with my sin.
Yeah.
When you know, when I was down on that couch and my grandfather really made me aware of my own sin. And so and that when you become aware of your sin, that's when you realize that you need a savior. And yeah. And that's when you have to make that decision to give your life to Christ,
yeah.
and to surrender, to repent, to turn away from your evil ways and turn to Christ. And so there is a new birth. That is the new birth, and that's part of the gospel, big part, right?
Yeah, and you just said a really key word in repent. That word gets thrown around so loosely, and I think sometimes believers don't really understand what repent is. Like, yeah. that is a legitimate, you are turning away from something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you you say you're repenting, but yet you keep coming back, you haven't truly repented.
Yeah.
Repenting is a actual walking away from whatever that sin. Now, you might be tempted,
mm-hmm.
you might struggle, and you might fall at some point, yeah. but repentance isn't a free pass to just keep going back to the same thing. Repentance right. is, like, if you're genuinely repenting, you should not be struggling with the same thing.
Yeah. I think it's, so when, before you repent, it's like you're almost, you're loving what you're doing in,
yeah.
in sin. And when you turn away, you begin to hate
yes.
that sin. And yes. so, even when we get tempted, and we all fall short.
Yep.
And we all, you know, sometimes stumble and fall back into some ways. But yeah. we know that's not us. That's yeah. not us anymore.
Yep.
And we cling on to Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's always turning back to Christ and away from the yeah. sin. Yeah.
And repentance is hard. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say, like, sometimes when I give, like, you know, that, I don't know how you say it, that altar call moment or whatever sometimes. Yeah. I don't like saying it like that. But,
yeah,
you know, one of the things that we, you know, from Life Point, they always talk about the ABCs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, admit, believe, commit. That's not a one-time thing.
Right.
And that's what I stress to people is, like, that first time you say yes to Jesus is going to be, in hindsight, the easiest yes you've ever said. And that's a hard yes to get to for the first time.
Right.
But in hindsight, it's the easiest, because tomorrow when you wake up,
mm-hmm.
or even when you walk out these doors or walk away from this conversation,
yeah.
you're going to have to say yes again and say no
yeah.
to that, whatever that was before mm-hmm. Jesus. And yeah. that's hard.
Yeah.
To say no to all the other stuff and yes to Jesus, that's hard work.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to say yes to Jesus every second of the day.
Yes.
And it's just not, that's why I always say that salvation moment, it can be a very hard moment to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a hard moment for me. I had a breakdown and tears on the side of the road until I got there.
Right.
But in hindsight, that was the easiest yes.
Yeah.
Because then I had to start turning away from all those broken lifestyles before Jesus. And that right. was not easy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you make that distinction, because I feel like sometimes, like, as Christians and some pastors, you know, they can kind of, they almost become like car salesman.
And, sign your line on the
yeah,
dotted line.
And they tell you everything that's beautiful and great about this car, but they don't tell you about some of the struggles that yeah. may come with the car.
Yep.
And some of the issues that may come. And sometimes I feel like maybe we should be, like, reverse and tell them, no, it's not going to be easy.
No,
because I think about, like, so I always mention this, when Jesus got baptized, he immediately was tempted.
Yeah.
And I always bring that up because I feel like that happens to so many people when yes. they become Christians, and when they have this high of being, you know, this newness in Christ, it's almost like they are spiritually vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like the church can sometimes set them up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been in these places where, like, yeah, you said yes to Jesus today. You're saved. Yeah. You're good. Which there is truth to that.
Yeah.
But tomorrow's gonna suck.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if it's not tomorrow, it's gonna suck. Sometime soon, something's gonna suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's gonna suck. That hot, that moment that you had, that emotional moment,
mm-hmm.
is gonna go away real quick.
Yeah.
But so that's why you have to almost be ready to say yes. And this is, again, where discipleship, accountability, having a good group around you to walk with you to mm-hmm. help you through these moments.
Yeah.
Because it's tough.
Yeah.
And just signing your line, like, there's some churches I know, you sign your name on a new believer's card and you're like, that's my ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to say yes every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every moment sometimes.
Amen.
So,
amen.
And it's not easy.
Yep.
And that's why even with Jesus, the way he taught sometimes, people turn away. They're like, oh, I ain't about that life.
Yeah.
You saying what now? Nope. Mm-hmm. I'm good, Jesus. I mean, yeah. that's why there's even that point where Jesus turns to his disciples and is like, who else is going to leave?
Yeah.
And then of course Peter responds, well, who mm-hmm. else will we go?
Mm-hmm.
Who else will we go to?
Like, yeah.
you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
But that, I think it's important to see that. So for me as a leader, sometimes it's hard. Like, why are people accepting this message?
Right.
People deny Jesus' message. People are walking away from that. So, and I'm mm-hmm. preaching his message. So yeah. it's like, some people just don't want it.
Right.
Yeah, a rabbit trail there.
Nah, that was good. That was good, man. I just thought about it, like, the Book of James, it's almost like it's doing what we were just talking about. It's letting you know once you are following Christ that there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, and it's calling you to, like, a greater obedience.
Man, I know. I'm just looking at some of the future titles of the chapters. Yeah. Chapter 2, The Sin of Favoritism. Controlling the tongue.
Yeah.
Proud or humble. Our will, like, and his will.
This is like the Christian handbook.
Waiting for the Lord, warning to the rich, effective prayer. Man, you know what? James is officially the Vert Church New Believers class.
Yes.
We'll walk you through some of the gospel, but you're going to read James. We're going to read James in this class.
Definitely.
You're going to learn what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah.
You're right. It definitely is, man. It just lays it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the struggles, everything.
Yeah.
I can't wait for chapter 2 and 3, though.
I know.
For that.
Yeah. James is so good of a book.
It really is. But I think I think for our listeners, like, hopefully for you listeners, it's been good for us, like, as we breaking it down, mm-hmm. like, 3 to 4 scriptures at a time, because there is so much in this.
Yeah.
Like, if we were to just give you a large sum of scripture at once, like, we'd be missing out on having an actual conversation on what it's saying in here.
Right.
So, I do like taking it nice and slow.
Yep. Same.
We might be finished with James by the time the year's over.
Definitely. Yeah.
And then we'll go to another letter.
Amen. All right, you want to remind the listeners?
Yeah, so again, hopefully this has been helpful for you guys as we've been breaking down James. And we want to just remind y'all that we would love to do a Q&A session at the end of this series, whenever that ends up being, where you guys will record a quick 20-second question that you might have had from anything that we covered through James or a specific verse that maybe we didn't really go in on, you had a question about, like, just submit, like, a recording a quick 20-second question and then emailing it to nick@avertchurch.com, or type in a question and email it to me at avertchurch.com, and just making sure you state your name so we can give you a shout out on the podcast when we do it, that episode. So don't forget to do that. We really would love to have that.
Amen. All right, guys, thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Leave a rating and or review. We appreciate those who have already done that, and we appreciate you guys who plan to do that.
Amen.
All right. We'll speak to you guys next time.
See you.
Peace.